Judge Bedford, what is your definition of racism?
My definition of racism would be any particular acts based upon race, discriminating solely based upon race, or certain acts that would not have taken place had it not been for the color of one's skin.
Do you feel that racism exists in Dallas?
It certainly does.
What do you feel can be done to remove racism from this area?
That's such a broad question. I think that it would be difficult to give you an answer that would solve the problem. I think that there are so many areas in which racism exists that perhaps I could probably give a suggestion to particular areas that I may be more familiar with rather than say that...
What I was leading to, perhaps, Judge, is better understanding, more interaction. Are those the keys to removal of racism, or is so much of it institutional that it's much broader in scope?
I think so much of it is institutional. I think that in so many institutions for years there has been this built-in racism, and that has existed. I can perhaps think of several things that over the years it has been an institution. It's as prevalent like a church. It perpetuates itself, and it's very difficult to remove it because of the fact that it is institutionalized.
You were born in Dallas. You attended schools in Dallas as long as you could before you had to go elsewhere to get a law degree. At the time that you finished high school in Dallas, was it deeply embedded in your mind that it was racism, a very basic part of the reason you could not further your efforts to get a law degree in this immediate area?
Not in the same vein that I think we're talking about racism now. At that time, I think I just accepted the fact that...
Segregation.
That's segregation, that if I was black, I didn't go to school, I couldn't go to law school in Texas, and that was accepted, I think, in a sense. It wasn't a great hue and cry about it at that time, but it's more or less an accepted fact.
You look around today and you see that there are a number of people of minority races attending many educational institutions, just about all educational institutions in Texas. But still, by far, the majority of those schools that were dominantly one race or another still are dominantly one race or another. How long do you think it will take to balance out and get, for example, as many black people as would like to go to a given university, attending that university?
I think that it would take quite some time. There are some people who are not particularly interested in attending what we would say a predominant white university because of many reasons. Some may feel that they will not be given a fair opportunity. Or I've heard it said that one must be super in order to have the same opportunities that mm-hmm. he would perhaps have in a black institution. So if he's a football player, he has to be an outstanding football player. Mm-hmm. If he sings, then he has to be far above average to sing. While in a black institution, he can possibly be judged on the quality of his performance rather than being super everything, you know.
Do you feel, Judge Bedford, as you look back over your education in Dallas proper, you went through elementary school and high school here, and after finishing Prairie View, you went to law school in Brooklyn. Did you at any time, when you got into a situation such as Brooklyn, where people of all races were attending schools and had for years, did you at any time feel that your education to that point had been inferior or substandard to other education that was being applied to, say, the white community in the Dallas area?
I felt that it had been inferior, and I felt it was inferior for several reasons. Number one, when I arrived in Brooklyn and I was in an integrated class for the first time, having been in all segregated school, elementary, high school, I really didn't know how I would fare in a group where there were whites, predominantly Brooklyn Law School was a Jewish mm-hmm. School. I had no idea. I did have some reservations as to whether or not I could, shall we say, cut the mustard. Mm-hmm. However, the one thing about going to an integrated school is that you learn that there are some awfully smart whites and there are also dumb whites, and that mm-hmm. there are some that fall in the middle. And you find out that there are some whites that you know and are much smarter than, or shall we have the ability to retain better than they do, and then there are some whites that you say, well, boy, this is the genius. So finally, color doesn't come into it, then you find out that it's just the individual.
You are an attorney. You're also a municipal court judge.
That's correct.
Do you find the people doing double takes when their skin is another color and they're brought before you regarding a given legal matter?
At first. I was appointed in 1966. When I first took the bench, there was a few people who looked several times to make sure. And even, I don't serve as much on the bench as I used to serve. But even now, it brings about a second look occasionally.
Let's invert that. Sitting on a bench in a southern city in 66 when you first moved into that chore, did you find yourself saying, now this is a challenge, when a man who comes in here whose skin is another color, I've got to be doubly sure that I am fair with this man in order to avoid any suspicion on his part that because my skin is another color, I'm going to treat him differently?
No, it was just the reverse. I wanted to make doubly sure that I'd be fair with all blacks that were brought in, because sometimes a person can overcompensate and say...
Overreact, overcompensate,
and therefore sometimes not be fair. And the first problem I had to solve was that I didn't care what the color was, that I was going to do what I thought was right under the law. And if a person is black, if he should be free, then free him. That if the job was permanent, as far as being permanent is concerned, a temporary, based upon how I would react and rule, then that would have to be a temporary job, that I was going to do what I felt was the proper thing to do.
Judge Bedford, do you feel that in the broad general context, there is a double standard of justice for a black man as opposed to a white man in the Dallas area?
I think not only in the Dallas area, but we'll just say nationwide. I'm a member of a society composed of black judges. There are less than 300 black judges in the whole of the United States, and there are over 16,000 judges, whether it's municipal court, state court, Supreme Court. And when you think about a percentage of less than 200-300 mm-hmm. black judges from the Supreme Court, from Thurgood Marshall down to the lowest court, and you think of 16,000 judges, and you think about the number of blacks who are subjected to the laws of this country, and you think about the number who actually have anything to do with enforcement of the law, you think about the number who have anything to do with the administration of the law, then you can see that other than being subjected to the law, blacks are completely left out of any enforcement and administration of the law, or have been for, let's say, it's an effort being made now, but let's say 20 years ago, it was just almost impossible, and that's not a long time ago.
Judge, if you were to believe some black citizens when they make public statements, they would have you believe that the majority of black people do not trust any white policeman. Is this an unfair or is it an accurate statement, you feel, in the Dallas, Texas area?
I believe that it may be true. I can say this, that what has happened in the last, since my tenure at the City Hall, I've learned that there are police who I think are fair, who try very hard to be fair. I've had police who have had black defendants who've come to me and made recommendations. But I think we have to go back to the institution. We have to go back to 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when there were no police. 25 years ago, when if you were black and walked on the street, if the police came to you and said, come to the car, you had no choice but to go to the car. If he asked you whether or not you had committed a certain act, if you said yes, of course, that's confessing something. If you say no, then are you calling me a liar? See, so anyway, you'd go, you're between what we call the rock and the hard place. Let's say 25 years ago when black policemen were first put on in Dawson, that's a very short period of time.
Improvements have been made.
Yeah, but...
But not enough.
Not enough. And let's think how you started out, that the first black police didn't dress at the city hall. They dressed at Roseland Homes, located on Washington, and walked the beat of Thompson Hall. And when they got off duty, they went back to Roseland Homes to undress. So if that isn't a sense of racism, you know, as far as... So you don't destroy these things overnight. There are a lot of people who have not yet learned to trust.
People are more responsive or something for some reason.
That's a good sign.
Than, yeah. Than it has been in those Easter services. It's, I don't know, almost like going through formality.
Reverend Wright, what is your definition of racism?
Well, my definition of racism would be as it relates between people of different ethnic background having certain preconceived notion about each other.
Do you believe that racism exists in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Oh, yes. Racism exists anywhere where you have people of different ethnic backgrounds and et cetera. Now, what I do believe about Dallas and know about Dallas is that we've come a long way since I was a boy here. I mean,
you grew up in Dallas.
Yes, I did.
As you look back on your personal life, is there a particular incident or a situation of racism that stands out more in your mind than any other one?
Well, the only thing that stands out more so would be as it relates between the sex. I think, to me, that brings about more of the fire and racism, interracial marriages and et cetera.
Can you remember the first time you heard of an interracial marriage in the Dallas area? How long ago was that?
I don't know. I don't know, but I...
Would it be a long time or only recently? Relatively speaking.
It was not a long time ago.
It was not a long time ago.
Because you couldn't...
You think there are a growing number of interracial marriages today in the Dallas area?
I see quite a bit of, whether it's a marriage or a relationship, I see quite a bit of interracial relationship here.
There are some people, particularly in the white community, that when they remove all of the other reasons why they find fault with this situation or that situation in regards to racial problems, that seems to be at the very root. That is the number one fear, shall we say, or the number one thing that they do not care for. That is the interracial marriage. If that is true, is there also a similar feeling existing in a black community about people who marry interracially?
Yes, because basically the black now is more proud of himself than he used to be. And therefore, he's... thinks in terms of his genetics and the almost preserving his unique personality and identity. So sometimes when the interracial marriages come, some consider it sometimes as a cop-out or trying to move into certain areas. But now basically, I personally feel that a marriage is between the two individuals. You have to basically say that.
As a minister, have people who have married interracially, have you offered counsel? Have they come to you for counsel prior to or even after a marriage?
On several occasions, I've had the opportunity to talk to couples like that because of the pressures, the society, the social strata, the acceptability, being accepted.
And is that their number one problem, being accepted?
Yes, basically you have that, and But the only solution to acceptability has to be from within, between the two individuals.
See? That could also be stated, I suppose, in, regarding another phase of the racial problem, and that is you cannot legislate one's thinking. You cannot legislate the heart,
no.
Regardless of the color of the skin that houses that heart, be it black, brown, white, or whatever.
Right. Now, this is a basic concept of that. The only thing that as we move because of certain hardcore elements that's within each of us, we had to resort to law, as we say, as a temperance, as a softener mm-hmm. of the situation. Otherwise, you would not have penetrated the crust of this. So by passing laws, you penetrate the solid crust of it. But at the same time, the work has to go on between the two individuals to make it genuine.
Is there racism in religion, do you feel? You're a minister, you have a church. Is there racism existing in Dallas in religion?
Well, yes, basically racism is going to exist in every facet of humanity's or man's operation as relates man to man until what we say that Christ becomes prevalent in man's heart and gives him a new concept of humanity and a new concept of himself. And basically, this is the only way racism is going to be, what I say, eradicated permanently. It's got to come through the Spirit of Christ, though we have to use laws and other means of opening doors that maybe heretofore has been tightly closed. But in opening those doors, it does not mean acceptability. The acceptability comes as a new spirit is inborn within the person, of accepting a person regardless of his color.
Is there acceptability in your congregation for anyone whose skin may be white to operate within your church?
Oh, yeah. See, the predominantly black membership church here, we've never had problem with whites coming in and worshiping and et cetera here in Dallas. In fact, we never had a problem with white coming into black businesses and et cetera here in Dallas. When I was a boy, I mean, it was obvious. I know, I won't call his name now, but there's a businessman that had a business that catered to, he was black and he had more white come to his business. And he was a good businessman and a good barbecue man and all. But at the same time, where the doors were open for the white to come into black, the doors were not open for the blacks to come into the white.
Do you feel that more churches in Dallas, previously dominantly white, are opening their doors to blacks now?
Oh, my, yes. I mean, yes, the whole, I see from a boy's standpoint of view and where it is now, it's unbelievable. Dallas itself is unbelievable. If you see, you'd have to grow up and know what's happening and how, and suffer the penalties of being black and et cetera to really see the progress. See, and this is why sometimes I guess I'm criticized because I say Dallas is a great city, and though we have our problem, but we're still moving toward excellence in all of this. And sometimes I'm criticized by being over jubilant and et cetera in it, but I look at it from the standpoint of where it used to be when I was a boy, and where many doors was closed and things was terrible.
You've been very active, Reverend Wright, in trying to improve the posture of relations between the races. And those that are more militant, particularly of the color of your skin, have referred to you as Uncle Tom and things a bit worse than that. Does it bother you when somebody calls you an Uncle Tom?
No, you see, the reason it doesn't bother you is because basically from a Christianity and Christian standpoint of view, a man has to know what he is within himself. See, you don't get satisfaction of what other folks say. Your satisfaction comes in what you really are, you see. Martin Luther King was called an Uncle Tom. I mean, many persons, people who do not agree with you. I just feel that I can do better by sitting here talking to you rather than getting out, just cushion you. Mm-hmm. Now,
Is that a two-way street?
It's a two-way street, you see, and I feel that if we're going to bring about permanent solution to problem and genuine solutions, we're going to have to build bridges of trust. Now, sometimes it means that you don't compromise a principle, but sometimes you have to come across for a little compromise and say, well, okay, I'll go with you here if you go with me there. And you build on it and build on it, and eventually you find that you have a permanent bridge to cross over into good relationship.
What do you think can be done in Dulles that is not being done to further improve the future?
Sounding good?
Nervous.
No.
Yes,
no nerves. Just be very relaxed and very comfortable. Oh.
Do you use my shoe spray? I'm gonna have to get you some.
Mrs. Dobie, what is your definition of racism?
Racism is, to me, when people dislike other people or keep them from doing things they want to do because of their color or race.
You have primarily spent most of your life in the East, in the Washington area. You've been in the state of Texas roughly 3 years and have been in the Dallas area only since the first of 1973. Do you feel racism exists in the Dallas area?
I imagine it does to an extent. But I'd rather feel that if people don't like me or don't like other people, whether they realize it or not, it's not necessarily a race problem. It's maybe personality.
Personality?
Yeah.
You're talking about one human being's attitude toward another human being.
Yes, I'd rather feel that way.
Have you noticed in your short stay in Dallas thus far any vast differences in attitudes of people than, say, perhaps you found in the Washington area?
Vast differences.
Any difference? Maybe vast should not have been used.
Yes, there is a difference. There's quite a bit of difference. In Washington, people aren't afraid to associate with people of other races. They're more free with other people. In Dallas, in Texas, and I guess maybe in some other places too, it's all right to be friends at work and whatnot, but they don't really get to know other people because they don't socialize. They have a fear of it, or they just don't want to.
You think it seems to be more prevalent in Texas and Dallas than you found it in Washington?
Yes, I think so.
Why do you think this exists, perhaps? A lack of knowledge of one individual about another, or one race about another in this part of the country?
I'd like to think that, yes, that they just don't know other people. And probably being this part of the country, they haven't had the opportunity to get to know people of different races. Like in the part of the country where I come from, there were all kinds of people, so you weren't limited to just one race or one kind of people. And being exposed to it, it doesn't frighten me. Where here, I'm not going to say that everybody's frightened. I imagine there are lots of people that really don't like black people or don't like Chinese people or don't like them. I guess if you asked them, they couldn't give you a logical reason why or give you a good, you know, strong reason why, but I guess maybe they are afraid.
Is there a particular area since you arrived in Dallas that seems to be more problematical, housing, job opportunities? What is there an area that is more problematical as far as racism is concerned that you've been able to notice?
No, I can't say that. I feel that if a person here in Texas, now, at this time in Texas, if a person is qualified and can present themselves well enough and really want a job or want to live in a place and can afford it, I don't feel that people really discriminate against them. They might not like to have you there, but they can't quite figure out how to say no without seeming to be against you because of your color.
You're a secretary. You have a responsible job with a responsible firm. Was it a bit difficult getting situated with this firm, or was it easier than you expected when you came to Dallas? Or exactly what was the posture on seeking a job in the Dallas area?
Well, I found it quite easy. It was really quite easy. Maybe I was lucky, or maybe I knew a lot of nice people, but I didn't have any problem getting the job. I found out about the opening. I came and applied for the job, and I was able to convince my employer that I wanted the job and that I could handle it. And they're giving me a chance to prove myself.
What about housing in the Dallas area? Has that been a problem for you? Are you satisfied with the housing where you are, and do you have any problems with the housing?
I have no problems with the housing, except that maybe the rent's high. But I'm living where I like. I like the neighborhood. I like the surroundings, and I didn't have any problem at all.
Any problems for your children?
No, none whatsoever.
If you were asked, after just 4 months or 5 months or 6 months in Dallas, as you've been, what Dallas could do, all the people, black, white, brown, they could do to improve the posture of the races, what would be your suggestion?
Oh, that's a big one. I guess I'd have to go back and say that they would just have to stop being afraid. White people in Dallas would have to stop being afraid of black people, and black people would have to get the kind of chip on their shoulder that they have. I find that here the black people always fall back on the excuse that, well, I'm black and they're not going to do this and they're not going to do that. But here I am, and here's the proof it's not so. You can do whatever you want to do anywhere. I don't believe that it's just here in Dallas. I believe that I can go anywhere in this country or in the world, and if I set out to do something, I can do it.
How much of this, your feeling, do you contribute to the fact that, if any, that your father was a career military man? Is any of it attributable to that, or am I reaching for something that doesn't exist there?
That probably has a lot to do with it, because my father's always told me that you can do whatever you want to do, and if you set out to do something, do it completely. If it's worth taking the time to do, do it. Not halfway, but do it completely. And I've always tried to do whatever he said, because he seems to set a very, very good example for me. I like his kind of person.
Thank you, Mrs. Dobie. What is your definition of racism? Do you feel that racism exists in this area? What would you do to remove racism from this area? If you had an opportunity, what would you do to improve race relations in this area? Have you ever personally experienced racism? And if so, tell us about it. Where do you feel that racism exists the most in this area? It has been said by some people that you cannot legislate one's personal feelings. How do you feel about this? What about racism in business? What can you tell us about your personal feelings concerning racism in business, for example? How does racism affect job opportunities? Do you think that there is a different attitude, for example, from the black man toward the white man than there is from the black man toward the brown or the Mexican American? Do you feel that there is a difference in the attitude of a black man toward a white man than a black man's attitude toward a brown or Mexican American? Why is this? What about job opportunities? What about lending institutions? What about those economic factors? Do you think racism exists there? And if so, where and why? Let's talk about racism in the economic specter. Let's talk about racism now as far as economics are concerned. Where does, shall we say, the black man experience this more than any other place? Do you feel that racism is a one-way street, that, for example, it exists only in the white community and does not exist in the black community toward the white community? You're a native of the Dallas area. Tell us some of the experiences that you have lived and that you consider to be racism. If you had an opportunity, what would you personally do to improve race relations? Some people, particularly in the white community, say that really the gut issue is interracial marriage or interracial dating. How do you feel about this? What about the housing situation? Do you feel that racism exists there to a great degree in this area? I'm going to just give you some listening shots now, some various listening shots. What about racism and justice and law and order? What are your feelings about that? Do you think we have a double standard in this area, a double standard for justice? Do you feel that there is a double standard for justice as far as races are concerned in this area? How do you feel about law and order? There are those who would say that the color of a man's skin figures and the crime statistics, that on a per capita basis there are more of a certain race in a high crime area than others. Do you feel that this is a factual statement? What are the problems faced by someone, for example, who has lived outside of this area, has grown up outside of this area, and then moved into this area? Can you tell us how this area differs with the area that you have lived in for most of your adult life? Is it true that some people in your community whose skin color is the same as yours, because you try to work for an improvement in racial relations in this area, refer to you as an Uncle Tom? And if that is true, how do you feel about someone calling you an Uncle Tom? Do you think that there is racism in religion today? What about racism in churches in the Dallas area? Is it prevalent more in those churches that are predominantly black or in those churches predominantly white? Racism and education. We hear a lot about busing. We hear a lot about equal opportunities in education. Where is there racism in education today? You say that there is racism in just about every facet of life. Could you be more explicit about that? At the present time, there are two black people, members of the Dallas City Council. There is not one member of the Dallas County Commissioner's Court, which you are a member of, whose skin color is black. Do you think that we can expect someone of another skin color to be a member of the Dallas County Commissioner's Court anytime in the near future, and if so, when? What is the biggest problem facing someone who does not understand the color of another man's skin? Are you saying, sir, that the main problem is fear of the unknown, not knowing what a black man is really like, not knowing what a brown man is really like, and not knowing, in the case of a brown or a black man, what a white man is really like? Can be done that is not being done to improve racial relations in this area? What is your personal definition of racism? Do you feel that racism exists in this area? Do you feel that racism is more prevalent in the black community or the white community? Or the brown community? Is it more prevalent in any one of those than the other? How much time? Good. Let's just stop it there. I just gave you some listening stuff. That's the main thing here.